Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to start the broadcast out today talking about the current economic climate and, as a result, the drop in giving, which have caused Christians to pull back and re-examine their views on the financial support of ministry. The early church was so different from the church today. They were a group of people whose anticipation of the coming kingdom dynamically affected everything in life and living. They lived in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. They were constrained to say, "Caesar is Lord." But instead they said, "Christ is Lord." And they were willing to give everything for the cause of the kingdom. They gave their time, they gave their talent, they gave their treasure. The impact of living in light of eternity caused them to hold loosely to their worldly possessions. But as the years passed, the coming kingdom seemed less imminent, and with less immediacy, people started to think, let's hold on to our possessions because the kingdom doesn't look like it's all that near anymore. Of course, many churches began teaching that giving was simply defined as a tithe. Give 10% and you have arrived. And that mantra, by the way, has become meaningful in our generation. And so people call me on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and they ask, should I give 10% net or should I give 10% gross? Which, of course, leads to the quip, it depends on whether you want a net or a gross blessing. But in reality, Christian stewardship is so different from that. It's holding everything we have with an open hand so that God can put in and take out as He sees fit. The truth of the matter is simply this. Scripture has always been crystal clear that God is the owner of everything. We are but stewards. Even if I give 10%, I'm still accountable to God for the remaining 90%. And I think the war generation, above all, got that point. These were people born between 1905 and 1924. They were people who worked hard, people who saved diligently. And of course, they gave to causes that were consistent with their core values and beliefs. But after the war generations, you had the boomer generation, people born between 1945 and 1964. And while you have to say in all fairness that the legacy of the boomers is still being written, it does not appear that they will maintain the generosity of the war generations. And then there's Generation X, born between 1965 and 1984. They're the generation that grew up with television, and then color television, and video games, and the internet, and MTV, and on it goes. And 40% of Generation X has left the church as they became adults in charge of their own lives. The millennial generation is interesting as well. If there was a moniker for the millennial generation, we would say the millennials are a consumer generation. The demographic trends that I am outlining for you are outlined with a purpose. I want to communicate something to you today. And that is, these trends have a significant impact for churches and for charities, for nonprofits like the Christian Research Institute. Because the war generations, they have been such big supporters of ministries like the Christian Research Institute, their passing is obviously going to leave a great big void. But the real issue is that in their generation, they were taught. They were taught that you could not outgive the Lord. They were taught the principles of financial stewardship. The facts tell us today that we have fallen short in that kind of teaching. We have fallen short in communicating a proper theology of money. The facts tell us that the largest givers in history are headed towards death and retirement and will be replaced by a new generation of non-givers, consumers. The facts tell us that the current social and political climates don't bode well for charitable giving. And of course, Jesus urged us to read the signs of the times. And those signs tell us that Generation X is not currently a giving generation. And rather than simply pounding that, we need to recognize the implications of that and make the necessary adjustments. If there was ever a time to make the adjustment in terms of teaching on biblical stewardship, that time is today. Today, at least 80% of all giving occurs in the form of cash. Now, think about that. 80% of all giving occurring in the form of cash. And that occurs despite the fact that over 90% of the country's wealth is held in non-cash assets. It's unclear how the teaching of the modern-day church came to limit giving primarily to cash giving. And I say that because if you look at the Bible, passages like Acts chapter 4, the early church was marked by gifts of land and houses. And of course, Scripture nowhere makes any prohibition on the type of gift. So I think it's time to rethink our theology, not just on giving, but on what should and can be given. The issue is particularly true given the large number of upcoming estate transfers as the war generations pass away. And so I want to urge those listening to me today to do a number of different things. Number one, to consider taking a trip to the web at equip.org. And when you're there, click on the Donate tab. You'll find a place where you can give a legacy, quite frankly. You can give tangible assets. And through that, you can leave a legacy through a ministry like the Christian Research Institute. So you can give non-cash gifts, very much the same as you can give cash gifts. We have the facility for doing that, for creating a will, for appointing Christian guardians. And these are very significant ways in which to curb the shortfall in giving. They're necessary. And so we would urge you to do that. But also, as we head towards June 30, which is the end of our fiscal year, we need people to be generous with immediate cash gifts as well. And to that end, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can write me and send a check to our ministry through Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can simply pick up your telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. And then thirdly, we need many to join the support team. Now, this ministry is making an impact all over the world, so when you're giving to us, in essence, you're giving through us, touching the lives of people that, quite frankly, you will not know this side of eternity. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. We'll be back in just a few moments right here with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Every CRI outreach, our broadcast, podcast, website resources, the Christian Research Journal, and more is made possible only because of friends like you. Your partnership matters. What kind of impact has your partnership had? An impact for time and for eternity. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Ken. He's listening in Freeport, Illinois. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Hank. I want to ask you a couple leading questions, then I'll get to the point. Death came into the world through Adam, is that correct?
Yeah. Death came into the world as a result of Adam, yes.
Of Adam, all right. What about the animals that existed prior to the fall who were carnivores that devoured each other? Were they not experiencing death?
Yes, that's a very good point. But remember that the Bible deals with events and circumstances not simply in a chronological fashion. We as human beings seem to only be capable of seeing time's arrow pointed in a particular direction, but recognize that the Bible gives us information in a chirological fashion, which has to do with God's purposes in creation. And therefore, we see Jesus Christ as a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. His death, which takes place in a particular epoch of time, atones for sins not only that follow the death, but also atone for sins that precede the death. And the same thing is true with respect to Adam's fall. Adam's fall accounts for all evil, even that evil which precedes it. So again, the information given to us in the Bible is given to us not only in a chronological fashion, but in a chirological fashion.
Well, that certainly helps me out. I appreciate your time.
You got it. By the way, I've written about this in the Creation Answer book. There's a particular entry in that book, which is titled, Could Carnivores and Catastrophes Have Existed Prior to the Fall? Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Steve. He's listening in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good to talk to you. I listen to your program every day. And first, I was a little jaded about it, but then the more I listened to you, I thought, man, this guy's both knowledge and wisdom, and I really appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you for giving me a fair hearing.
You're welcome. I got a question. I met somebody, and we got engaged, and she's just a really awesome woman, and she's a Catholic. And I go to an Assembly of God church, and I was wondering if you could explain to me the difference between these two religions and if we are unevenly yoked, or if that's even what that means.
Well, I think the yoking has to do with being in unison when it comes to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, which ultimately form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cult. So I would make sure that you are unified when it comes to essential Christian doctrine. This is something that we repeat over and over again at the Christian Research Institute. In essentials, unity; in non-essentials, liberty; and in all things, charity. So if we are unified in the essentials, we can, as it were, stand shoulder to shoulder together. But you don't want to be unequally yoked on essential Christian doctrine, because you'll be pulling the cart in two different directions, and what happens is the cart severs. And so that's a bit of a metaphor for what can happen with the relationship as well. So what I would urge you to do is make certain that you are united on the essentials that form the very foundation on which the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rests. To that end, I've actually developed a flip chart which gives you essential Christian doctrine in a memorable format.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. I mean, because that's one of the biggest things I told her is we've got to be on the same page, because, you know, I want to be in ministry work with youth, and so does she. But we can't be on different pages trying to do the same thing, so.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to. My wife and I have all kinds of disagreements. I mean, not in the sense of contentious disagreements, but we debate things vigorously, and as a result of that, iron sharpens iron. I mean, if two of you are identical, one of you is unnecessary. So you don't have to have complete harmony in everything that you believe in your gift mix, but you do want to be united on the essentials, again, that form the foundation on which the gospel of Jesus Christ rests.
Right, and I think we're both on the same page in that area. So.
Well, don't think, be sure. I mean, make this a matter of conversation. This is the perfect time to do it.
All right, Hank, thanks. I appreciate your program.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you listening. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mike in Missouri. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Hank. Thank you for taking my call, sir. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Hey, listen, where I attend a small little church, we have several people in this church have come from different denominations, gotten out of the Word of Faith ministries, and some of us have gotten out of the Oneness Pentecostal movement. And we've all come together as a one body to worship the one true God in the way that we believe that he wants us to worship. And we got a pastor that we feel like is deviating from that and starting to get into the Word of Faith ministry. And we, as believers, are concerned, and there are several of us, core group, are going to get together Friday night in intercessory prayer to figure out how to handle this situation and go to our pastor and talk to him and get and see how we can get him from going from that, moving back to where he was. How do we handle that as a group without being feel like we're betraying the pastor, as I want to say?
Well, I think you want to do what you do with gentleness and with respect. Humility and meekness is another way of putting it. So you don't want to assume anything, but you want to express that this is an area of concern for you. And you should also know precisely why it is an area of concern for you. In the case of the Word of Faith movement, the reality is not that you don't want an emphasis on faith, but you don't want an emphasis on something that is marketed as faith but isn't genuine faith at all. The Word of Faith movement, in essence, says that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. So it becomes not faith in God, but it becomes faith in your own faith, which is not faith at all, it is credulity. Faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. So if it is in your own faith, it is not well-founded faith. If it is in your God, then it is well-founded faith. Faith, again, is a channel of living trust between an individual and their God. Furthermore, the Word of Faith movement seeks to tell people that they can have what they want by harnessing what God harnessed, and that is the force of faith, because they say God is a faith God, and we have to have not faith in God principally, but the faith of God. But again, this is ill-conceived and ultimately drawn to its logical conclusion, makes God a means to an end, when in biblical theology, God is the end. And it invites people to come to the master's table, not because they love the master, but rather they come because they love what is on the master's table. I've written about this, by the way, in various places. The most significant is my book, Christianity in Crisis. But again, I think you want to discuss this with meekness and with respect, an attitude of humility, and then you have an opportunity to reach as opposed to repel. But if he's going in the line of the Benny Hinns and the Kenneth Copelands and the Kenneth Hagins and Marilyn Hickeys and the like, I think it's a very dangerous move, and I would certainly not want to be part of a church like that, because it is a false gospel that overpromises and underperforms and ultimately puts guilt on the sick, because in this faith theology, if you have enough faith, you don't have to have sickness at all. It fails to recognize that we live in a cursed creation, and that aging and sickness and ultimately death is a human condition. So I often say Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life. It gives us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the power of Christ's resurrection. Let's talk next to Ethan, listening in Kansas. Hi, Ethan.
Hey, Hank. My question was, what do I tell someone who thinks that all religions are headed to the same heaven?
Well, it's an absolutely absurd idea. Think about the leaders of the religions. Think about Moses, who was hailed in Christianity. He was fiercely monotheistic. Well, Krishna, was he monotheistic? No, he was polytheistic. Or think about the Quran, which condemns Christ's claim to be the Son of God as the unforgivable sin of shirk. Well, look, all these messengers and manifestations can be wrong, but they can't all simultaneously be right because they have different claims. Baha'i, for example, explicitly denies objective truth, such as the Trinity or the virgin birth or the incarnation or the resurrection, second coming of Jesus Christ and the like. Christianity affirms it. Again, both can be wrong, but they both can't be right. And the reason we believe Christianity is right is because Christianity can be tested. We don't believe in the resurrection blindly, but rather because there's evidence for it. You can build a cumulative case for the historical reality of the resurrection, and that's why we believe it.
Okay, thanks.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you right back here next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.